Hi, and thank you for joining us today for Destigmatizing Urology, an official podcast series from Urology Times. As we all know, stereotypes and misleading information circulate within the field of urology, and these miscommunications can negatively affect doctor-patient counseling and decision-making. This series destigmatizes topics in urology alongside clinical experts to help listeners practice more efficiently and foster better relationships with their patients. I'm your host and Urology Times assistant editor, Janelle Hart. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Raj S. Pruthi about the stigmas associated with mental health and seeking care for mental health issues. Additionally, he emphasizes the need for prioritization of mental health among physicians especially, as the quality of care for patients only decreases when mental health is left unattended to. Pruthi is a professor and chair of the Department of Urology at the University of California, San Francisco. What are the stigmas surrounding mental health conditions and seeking help for these conditions?
So I think the question that you're asking is what prevents us from healing our healers? And I believe we have an unwritten code in medicine and in surgery in general about never showing weakness that may create wrong perceptions, creating this perceived stigma associated with burnout or depression. And I think this may limit seeking help. There are concerns also of confidentiality. I think, unfortunately, in medicine, we place a low priority on our mental health, despite the evidence of untreated mood disorders, the high risk of suicide in physicians. There's a saying that the cobbler always wears the worst shoes. And I think sometimes we may be doing the same thing in medicine. Too often, I think depression is untreated until patient care is impacted. I think, as I mentioned, for physicians seeking help, there may be negative repercussions, discrimination and licensing, loss of privileges, hindrance to professional advancement, despite having ready access to colleagues who could help us. Regulatory and workplace barriers, I think, dissuade those of us who need it from seeking help. I think we often encourage our patients to share concerns about depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions, yet are less likely ourselves to seek help due to this issue of stigma that you brought up. People have talked about what might contribute to this. One is potentially our, quote, physician personality. We are often defined by things that may be attributes to being a good doctor, attention to detail, leaving no stone unturned, always thinking about our patients. But this also can be a double-edged sword. We may be those that are most dedicated to work, maybe most consumed by it. In addition, I think we're programmed often to cope alone. We have busier schedules, higher productivity, more time spent documenting, which often means less time interacting with other physicians. So we tend to be alone when we have to handle stress and don't reach out because we, again, don't want to look weak or a subpar doctor. I think interacting with others has always been part of our fabric, but is being lost. A few other aspects are we often have a survival mentality. If I can just get through residency, things will get better. Once I'm done, if I can just get my first grant or get promoted or become a partner, it'll get better. Just work now, then retire, and we'll get a personal life later, I think can be counterproductive. That contribute also to issues around stigma.
And so how do these issues, you know, impact physicians with these mental health conditions?
I personally believe we judge each other too frequently for having mental health issues. As I mentioned before, if we disclose it to our colleagues and seek help, they'll judge us as weak or less capable of doing our work, may betray our confidentiality, put our careers in jeopardy, especially with the hospitals or the licensing boards. And then even though, again, we're susceptible to this, including the tragic outcome of suicide, which is at least threefold higher in physicians and other professionals. But we're the ones who sit on medical boards and credentialing committees. So we are the ones who decide who gets accepted or not and who gets promoted or not. So we are the ones who potentially perpetuate the stigma associated with it through judgment of our peers, residents, and medical students. So this is something I think that we need to reverse.
And so what are some resources that you'd recommend for physicians to better manage their mental health?
I'll first mention things I think that don't necessarily work well. I think often there are programs and healthcare systems which focus on physician resilience and wellness, which is really the symptom of burnout and moral injury. They create forums that discuss problems and symptoms we face, elective or urgent support programs. You know, I've been at institutions that have programs turned, quote, coat lavender or, quote, taking care of our own. which all are certainly positive and strive to ease the provider stress and improve physician resilience. We hire wellness officers, we create wellness programs to alleviate these symptoms and support, but they don't really address the underlying causes, and they don't address issues around mental health, and thereby, I think, are limited. If you just focus on the symptoms, it's a bit short-sighted and a band-aid for a deeper injury. And I've heard it said, you know, you can't yoga your way out of burnout or mental health. And these websites, institutional programs can be great, but limited. I think beginning with online or institutional resources to become comfortable that you're not alone is important, because you're not alone. I think beginning with having discussions with maybe a trusted colleague can be beneficial. The other thing I've seen positively is involvement of primary care physicians who become very well versed in providing mental health treatment and support. So you don't need to find a psychiatrist, but your PCP can support this also. Often, I think in surveys, physicians have said that one of the issues that they face is the ability to find an appointment that fits their schedule. I think 70% of physicians say they can't find an appointment that fits their schedule as a concern. So I think sometimes, you know, just going to your primary care physician can be positive.
And so how can urologists destigmatize mental health conditions and seeking treatment for them?
That's a good question, because that's the issue, is like, how do we get there in our field? First, I think we can speak up and tell our stories. I think this segment by Urology Times is a great step, that an outward discussion of what the issues are. Second, I think we can advocate with our state government bodies, medical boards, and even our hospital credentialing committees, which still ask sometimes inappropriate questions about our mental health. Back when I applied to medical school, I remember this. One of the questions on the medical school application asked if there's a family history of mental health disorder. So again, just showing that this can be a stigma. I think third, we can expand our perspective of mental health disorders. A narrow perspective can lend themselves to unidimensional statements such as that mental illness is a weakness, or mental disorders or brain disorders. Unfortunately, this type of reductionist thinking or models of illness can contribute to misunderstanding and the stigma we've talked about. Fourth, I think we can potentially change the use of this stigmatizing language. Labeling people as having mental disorders may unintentionally categorize them as a social outgroup subject to discrimination and disadvantage, rather than to inclusiveness and equity. Instead of maybe characterizing them as issues of mental health and mental illness, this should really be part of a continuum. The World Health Organization describes mental health as more than the absence of mental disorder or illness. It emphasizes mental health as a state of well-being in which individuals realize their own abilities, cope, and normal stresses of work, productivity, life, and ability to contribute to the community. I've heard someone suggest that maybe we should talk more about emotional health than mental health, because we all have emotions, whereas we don't have mental disorders. Feeling stress or having emotional distress may sound more acceptable than having a mental disorder.
And lastly, is there anything else you feel our audience should know about this topic?
I would encourage urologists to talk about this in their group practices, as part of their practice meetings, bring in people, and just using trusted colleagues. I think those who are leaders in our groups or practice also can take an important step. We need to accept this as important by admitting that we're better for our patients when we're alert, focused, ready. We need to cultivate habits of awareness and renewal. And I think, as I mentioned, we need to lead from the top down, setting good examples of good health and balance for the young partners and faculty, and for our learners. It's been shown that after 1 year of medical school, medical students already have significant burnout and depression, which they didn't have before starting medical school. And remember, in all of this, we are part of the organization. We're teachers and administrators, and we need to set the example. And we need, as I mentioned before, to be part of the credentialing groups or the medical boards that can make the difference and destigmatize. I think our younger partners and learners need to see that in order to provide the best care for our patients, we must do everything we can to stay physically and emotionally healthy. And I think we can be the role models for this.
Be sure to subscribe to Destigmatizing Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest clinical perspectives and practice management advice by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.